in the next four Sundays during the month of June. I thought it would be something a little different and something perhaps that would be a blessing as we share also from God's Word. Well, here's the story. This great hymn was written back almost 200 years ago in Scotland. Yes, Scotland, one of my favorite places. It's a story about George Matheson. George Matheson wrote this hymn. At the age of 20 years old, just a young fella, he had what had promised to be a brilliant future ahead of him. I mean, he had it all together. He was an outstanding student. He was a theology student, preparing for what would be a brilliant career in academia. He was going to be one of the best professors of all time. But he was also engaged to the woman of his dreams, someone that he had loved, even as a teenager. He had fallen in love with, and he wanted to marry. Everything was just right, it seemed, except for one thing. He was beginning to lose his eyesight. Slowly, little by little, day by day, his world became increasingly dark as the loss of his eyesight progressed. And so there were some obvious questions that came up. How could he be a scholar with no ability to read if he could not see? At that time, Braille, which is the method and means of reading and using your hands to read, it was still in its infancy. And options were limited at that particular time. They didn't have any computers or anything like that, so they couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. His fiancée decided that she couldn't bear going through life with a blind husband. So, all of a sudden, she breaks off the engagement. And George Matheson's life just became unraveled. It was absolute chaos. He did not know what he was going to do. It became undone. But he didn't let this hold him back. He decided instead of becoming a scholar, he would become a pastor. Now, I'm not sure if that's jumping in from the frying pan into the fire or not. But he decided to become a pastor, and he began serving a small church outside of Glasgow, Scotland. His sister became his devoted assistant. His sister was about a year younger than he, and she was well-gifted. And she began to study Greek and began to study Hebrew and Latin to help with his sermon preparation and to help with his writing. She accompanied him throughout the day. She went wherever he went. And if anybody remembers, we used to have a blind evangelist in the state of Maine who went around with a dog, and that dog was his life support. And for the life of me, I can't remember. Anybody remember his name? I know, I've heard some of you talk about him before. But anyway, just like this guy, she accompanied him throughout the day, assisting him in pastoral visitation, assisting him in some of the very basic things he had to do. Over the years, George Matheson became quite successful in the ministry. He pastored a church that grew in Scotland. It became a large church. And he wrote several books on theology. He wrote lots of poems. And he began to compose some sacred music, which was a blessing to so many. And then one day, his sister told him that she had fallen in love and that she had planned to marry. And so, she would soon be living to begin a new life with her husband. So here was George Matheson. He was without anybody. And George realized that he would be alone. He would be all by himself. Nobody there for him. For 20 years, his sister had been his connection to the seeing world around him. She had read to him. She had completed his research. She had been his scribe, almost, and his partner in ministry. And she's no longer there. On the night before her wedding, George Matheson said this: "Something happened to me which was known only to myself and which caused me the most severe mental suffering," he said. Those close to him understood that he was reminded of the time so many years before, a long time beforehand, as he was preparing himself to get married to the young girl that he had loved so much, and the love of his life let him go. Here, his right hand let him go. Now he's losing his closest friend and confidant, his dear beloved sister. And so that night, on June the 6th, 1882, as George Matheson talked about the love that he had lost before, and as he thought about the lonely days that would lie ahead of him, he penned these words from this hymn: "O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thy ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be." That's where his heart was. And there may be some here today who understand in a deep and personal level the story behind this hymn, because maybe you have experienced this yourself. And what George Matheson felt, maybe you have felt at one point or another in your life. And if you haven't felt that in the past, it may be that you will feel that in the future. Of what it is to feel abandoned. Of what it is to feel alone, to be isolated, to be yourself. We've all, at one point or another, to one degree or another, we've all felt this way. I'm sure of it. Today I want to talk to you about the love that will not let you go. It's the love that we see in God's Word. The love that you can count on to be present in your life no matter what comes your way, no matter what turn of events may come upon you. We'll look to the one of the Psalms that was written by King David, and of course it's Psalm 139. But before that, Psalm 23, a passage that was read at Bob Cree's funeral the other day. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." What a great passage that is. The end of the psalm, he says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." David also wrote these words from Psalm 16, verse 6. He says, "The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance." That delightful inheritance is also available for each and every one of us. He both wrote of these psalms relatively early in his life, and if you know anything about King David's history, you'll know that his life wasn't always about slaying giants, and it wasn't always about writing scripture and sitting beside the still waters and writing psalms and hymns. He knew something about failure. He knew something about heartache. He knew something about disappointment and betrayal and regret and all the things that you and I at one point or another in our lives will experience. His son Absalom brutally assaulted his own sister. David's own other son, Joab, killed Absalom in revenge. Many stories about David. His life wasn't perfect. And then one of David's military leaders killed Joab. And when the dust had cleared, his two sons were dead. His daughter was traumatized, and his family was torn apart. David understood what it was to have heartache. He understood what it was to have disappointment. And at another point in his life, of course, we all know the story of David and Bathsheba. David himself committed both murder and adultery, and his infant son died in the process. So you wonder if David, who had written so many eloquent, beautiful psalms from David's loving kindness in his, from God's loving kindness in the earlier years, you wonder if he changed his tune a bit in later years. Sometimes we think if we face all those experiences, maybe a little bit of wisdom will set in, a little bit of common sense will set in. You wonder if he changed his tune, but after he had suffered all those losses and life had a chance to beat him up a bit, and if so, he wouldn't be the first old man to become bitter about life, would he? Not at all. Actually, David, in many ways, didn't change his tune at all. And in Psalm 139, which is the most likely the last psalm that David ever wrote, we hear him talk about the love that just would not let him go. As I read Psalm 139, I see this written all over these verses, that God's love is a love that will not let go. And we see something about the character of God that's interwoven into the beauty of all these, of the prose that's offered, of the verses that are given, the liturgy that's given. That God is a God that's holy, that he is omniscient, which means that God is everywhere. We see it written in Psalm 139. That God is a God of omnipresence. He is everywhere. And that God is a God of omnipotence. That he is all-powerful in every way. He is an omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent God. David describes all of these qualities and all of these characters of God so beautiful here in the 139th Psalm. Talks about the preciousness of life. Talks about the God who knows us inside and out, even before we're born. Who has always known him and who has knit us together and has planned out all our days. For some of us, we have difficulty to understand how that could be. But this is what God says. And if you're feeling today abandoned, if you're feeling alone, if you're feeling like you're a minority, if you're feeling hopeless and helpless and full of fear, then I want to remind you of three truths very quickly that you can hold on to and take with you into the days ahead. The first thing that I would remind you of on a love that will not let you go is this: that God's light God's light can pierce the darkest darkness. the darkest darkness. When you walk into a room with a light, no matter how dark that room is, no matter how black it is, a light can pierce it. A light can light it up, no matter how dark it is. And King David wrote these words in Psalm 139, verse 11. If you look back at verse 11, he says, "If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me." He knows that God is there. And in verse 12, "Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." No matter how dark it is, no matter how black it is, no matter how dismal it is. Now, maybe this was the verse that George Matheson was thinking of when he wrote these words in another verse of this hymn. "O light that followest all my way, I yield my flickering torch to thee. My heart restores its borrowed ray, that in thy sunshine's blaze its days may be brighter, fairer be." That's what he wrote. He wrote that because he was experiencing it in his own heart. There are times when it feels like our lives are sunny and bright. We all say we have good days and we have bad days, right? There may be some of you here having a great day. There may be some of you having a lousy day. And it's okay to say that. It's okay to believe that. It's okay, because if you're experiencing that, that's just the way it is. I have a friend who, after a long engagement, married the woman of his dreams. They were engaged like for 14 years, believe it or not, before they finally got married. Now, that's a long engagement. And finally, they got married. Both of them had already been through some heartbreak. Both of them had already been through great difficulty, but now they were ready to become, there was a blended family that was going to take place here. She quit her job and they all moved to Boston. And then before they could barely get started in their new lives together, it just seemed like the bottom fell out. Everything went to pieces. His career was just shattered. Didn't have a career anymore. They had no money anymore. They lost a few of their friends. And afterwards he asked God 1,000 times, "Why couldn't this have happened 3 months before the wedding? Why couldn't this have happened a while back instead of 3 months after the wedding? We could have changed our plans. Why, Lord, why did it have to happen this way?" And later my friend said to me, "I never realized how God could sustain us through this dark and difficult days, but he has sustained us. He has kept us going." And I want you to know this morning that through your dark and difficult days, there is a light that will shine in the darkness. And that light is Jesus Christ, because he alone is the light of the world. And in him there is no darkness, the Bible says. God's light can pierce the darkest darkness. The second truth I want you to hear that comes from this great old hymn. Now, you didn't think there was much theology in this old hymn, even though it's a Methodist hymn. And then we're fine with that, because God has something good to teach us through this. The second truth that we see is this, is that God's ear is always within the sound of your voice. God's ear, did you know that God listens? That God hears us? He hears us when we speak. The Bible says he hears us when we call out to him. David wrote this in Psalm 139, verse 7. It's powerful. "Where can I go from your spirit?" Where? Where can I flee from your presence? He's talking about the omniscience of God, that God is everywhere. And he says in verse 8, if I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in Hades, you're there. He's saying that no matter where I go, low or high or in between, near or far, God can be close by as we call out to him. If we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, if we know him as our Savior, if he lives in our heart through faith by grace, we can have that. And I want you to know that he's not only close by, but he's also listening. In Psalm 116, David says this, Psalm 116. He says, he has heard my voice and my supplications. He has inclined his ear towards me. It's almost a picture. If you can picture in your own mind, God with a big ear. And that ear just coming down through the clouds, just listening to us. That's kind of a crazy physical way to think about it. But God desires to listen to us. In the New Living Translation, it says, he bends down to listen. He bends down. He comes near. He comes to you. He takes the initiative. And there are times I know in my life, I feel there are days I feel that, you know, God, you're not listening at all. God, you're not near me. You're not close by. You don't understand me. You don't understand me at all. And that he doesn't hear me because things don't always go the way we want them to go or expect them to be. We have our own agenda and we say, Lord, this is what I want to fit into. So make it happen. God doesn't always work that way. Not at all. Jesus told his disciples in their final moments together, he told them this in Matthew 28, verse 20. He says, and surely I am with you always, even to the ends of the age, even to the end of the earth. I'll go with you. And Jesus knew that the road that lay before the disciples would sometimes become rocky and sometimes it would become difficulty. Sometimes it would be clouded and you wouldn't be able to see your way clearly. And he wanted them to remember that there is no place for you to go where God isn't there. Even in the midst of the worst days of your life. Even in the midst of tragedy. Even in your times of greatest heartache and loss. God wants you to know that he's there. And he will always hear you. He always within the sound of your voice. That's good news. That's the news of the gospel. That God loves us and sent his son Jesus Christ into this world. In Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5 it says that never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. As I go out onto the road, I'm thankful for those words. Brings me to the third truth that I want to encourage you with this morning, and it's this. That God's hand is always within your reach. His hand is always there. Now we know God does not have physical hands like you or I have physical hands. But God's hand is always within your reach. And the Bible uses that analogy time and time again throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. David wrote in verse 9, of Psalm 139. Look at the passage. He says this, if I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, and verse number 10, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will uphold me fast. You ever think of it that way? I'm speaking from experience when I say that you will never feel as alone in life or as afraid as you feel when a storm comes sweeping into your life. Have you had any storms lately? I have. We all have. There's no word to describe this sense of uncertainty. There's no word to describe how awful it can be sometimes, wondering what might happen next, wondering what will take place next, and what can I do about it right now? In these moments, I'll tell you what you can do. You can reach out to God, because His is a love that will not let you go. It will not let you go. Let Him guide you through the debris that the storm has left behind. You know, I was thinking of all these tornadoes down south this past week. People's lives being absolutely devastated. Everybody losing their belongings. Absolute chaos. Aren't you glad you live in Maine? You don't, well, we've had a couple of them, I suppose. I would not want to live in Tornado Alley or wherever there's hurricanes and all of that stuff. But I can reach out to God and have all the debris that has come down, and God will take care of that debris. He says He'll do it. He says He'll take care of it. Just as you can experience a glimmer of light during your darkest days, you can experience the glimmer of hope and peace and joy even through your most painful trials. One of my most painful trials was in 1994 when I lost my brother, who was killed instantly in a car accident. It was a horrible time. It was a terrible event. And I guess this is where I can relate to this hymn. Matthieson wrote another verse. O joy that seekest me through pain, I cannot close my heart to thee. I trace the rainbow through the rain and feel the promise is not vain, that morn shall tearless be. I know that's old English. It's hard for us to wrap our minds around some of the words that are written. But it's beautiful, because this says to me as a believer in Jesus Christ that the time of trial is not how the story ends for you. It's just one tiny chapter in an epic narrative for God's work in your life. It's part of His plan. And it's important for you to remember that you do not need to face those days by yourself. You don't need to face those times by yourself. God wants to be with you. Psalm 139, as I close, is a reminder that God loves you with a love that will never let you go. It's a love that will never let you go. No matter how far you may try to run from God, no matter how you may try to conduct your affairs, lead your life, if you know God's love in your heart, it'll never let you go. Now, you know, you may leave Him. We do. I leave Him all the time. I disappoint my God every single day, probably. We all do. But He'll never disappoint us. You may leave Him, but He will never leave you. And I think those are words of assurance that we can take to the bank, and we can have great hope in, and great faith in these days. Let's pray. Thank You, Lord, for this love that will never let us go. Thank You for the joy of Christ living in our hearts, that through faith in Him, we live and move and have our being. Touch each heart today, Lord. If there's anyone here today that's facing challenges and difficulties that they don't think they can be able to face on their own, Lord, I pray that You'd come near them today. Fill them with Your presence. Fill them with Your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're going to sing the last.